preachers used to preach so strong. What's happened to the singers used to sing that song? Preachers out selling Amway, singers now sing country. They sold out what was right for what was wrong. What happened to the church that used to be on fire? What happened to all the voices singing that heavenly choir? The church is now grown dead and cold, silent cause nobody goes. They sold out to the world their own desires. Oh, but this heart belongs to Jesus, cause he saved my soul from hell. This heart belongs to Jesus, this heart, not for sale, not for sale, not for sale. No way, no sir. Well, a man from down the street called a few months ago. Girl, with your talent, you could make a lot of dough. Thanks for your offer, that all sounds well. But I belong to Jesus and I'm just not for sale. I'm not for sale. I'm not for sale. No way, no sir. Living for Jesus, friend, there'll come a day. The devil's gonna try to get you somewhere. He'll try you and tempt you with lies straight from hell. Say, devil, I belong to Jesus. I'm just not for sale. I'm not for sale. Not for sale. No way, no sir. I belong to the Lord God Almighty. He's purchased me with his precious blood. I don't need popularity. I'd rather have everything that he's promised me. I belong to the King of Kings. He's my hope, my joy, my everything. I belong to the Lord God Almighty. I belong to the one who gave his life for me. I belong to the Lord God Almighty, Lamb of God. He purchased me with his precious blood. I don't need popularity. You see, I'd rather have everything that the Word of God has promised me. Some have sold conviction for compromise. Some have sold the truth for a pack of lies. Some have sold testimony for fortune and fame. I come here tonight to magnify and glorify his name. I belong to Jesus. He saved my soul from hell. This heart belongs to Jesus. This heart, not for sale. Not for sale. No way, no sir. Not for sale. Not for sale. Oh, church, I'm not for sale.
All the men which were upon the face of the earth. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this evening for who you are. We thank you for the opportunity to come and, Lord, fellowship with our brothers and sisters, Lord, and Father, worship you and break bread, Lord, with you and with one another here tonight. And Father, I thank you that you made this bread possible that we're about to receive into our spirit. And Father, let it go forth to the building of thy kingdom, God, to the strengthening of our spirit, our souls, God, ones that's going to live on forever, that we would be who we should be here in this last day. And Father, we just thank you that we have this word tonight. Help us never take for granted, God, what we have. And Lord, we just love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I would ask you tonight to be honest now. How many wants a meek pastor? A meek pastor. How many wants a meek pastor? All right. How many wants? I would hope us all. How many would want a meek pastor? I want your pastor to be meek. Amen. Well, I figured everybody raised their hand on that with my hands up. I want to be meek. Meek is not weak. You've got to understand that the right answer was to raise your hand. That's, oh, you don't want a meek pastor? Oh, yeah. Oh, so that's honest. Y'all don't want a meek pastor then, huh? What do y'all want? I would hope you want a meek pastor. Amen, amen. What does meek mean, Brother David? It means humble. It means lowly. It means gentle in mind. It means abase self. It means an attitude of humility toward God and gentleness toward men, springing from the recognition that God is in control. Amen? See, when we realize God's in control, it changes everything, don't it? Amen? Meekness is not weakness. Amen? You got to understand, weakness is a lack of strength and courage. But meekness is due to the person's choice in the matter. Amen? It may appear sometimes that a person could be weak, but it's his choice to take that path. But he's not weak. He's meek. Amen. Again, weak preaching is not meek preaching. Amen. Sometimes people preach and never hit the spots in the word that really cuts people in their heart. And they think, well, it's because I'm a meek preacher. No, you're a weak preacher. Amen. Meek is not weak. You'll understand what I'm talking about here in a few minutes. Now, I want to ask you again. I'm going to ask you throughout this message. How many wants a meek pastor? All right. We're getting somewhere now. Oh, brother, we just didn't know what it meant. That's what we want. Amen. James in the 3rd chapter in verse 13, he said, who is a wise man and endured with the knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conscience or conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. 2 Timothy 2:24. I'll just give you some scripture to lay a foundation. It says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance for the acknowledging of the truth. Amen. Colossians 3:12. He says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind. Say it. Meekness, long-suffering. Amen. Ephesians 4:1. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherein you're called with what? All lowliness and meekness. Amen. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit. Not the fruits of the Spirit now. The fruit is like an orange. An orange is made up of several slices. Amen? And that's the fruit of the Spirit. And it takes every one of the slices in that orange to make up the orange. Brother Jeff, did you adjust that house speaker back on the very side slide? Thank you. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. These are all the slices of the fruit. Faith and, say it, meekness, Temperance, against such there's no law. In other words, meekness is one of the slices of the fruit of the Spirit. One of the slices in the orange. So we all got to have meekness. If we got the fruit of the Spirit, amen. So I ask you again, how many wants a meek pastor? All right. We're getting somewhere now. How many believe Jesus was meek? Okay, we'll prove it. I like to prove it with the word, in case you don't believe me. 2 Corinthians 10:1. It says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." Paul understood that Christ was meek, and I got to follow him, so I got to be meek. Amen. And so Paul is saying here, "I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." Matthew 21:5. Jesus himself said, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee," say it, "meek and sitting upon an ass," amen, "the colt of a foal," amen. Matthew 11:29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Jesus is saying this, "You shall find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Again, Jesus said in Matthew in the 5th chapter, verse 5, he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, we've come to the conclusion that we want a meek pastor. Amen? Now, we can go home tonight and our hearts and rested that, hey, I want me a meek pastor. Amen? I want Brother David to be meek. Right? Right? Because Moses was meek man, was he not? Didn't we not say he was the meekest man? He was very meek. The meekest man that time. Moses. Now we proved a point that Jesus is meek. Jesus was humble and he was lowly and he was gentle in mind. He would abase himself and he had the attitude of humility toward God and gentleness toward man. And it was all springing from the recognition that God's in control. I mean, Jesus knew God was in control and Moses knew God was in control. So no matter what everything did and situations looked like, and people, you know, look at all the times that people murmured against Moses and, you know, spake against God and Moses, murmured against him. But Moses cool, collected, would he? I mean, he just, you know, it didn't bother him because he knew God was in control. But meekness is not weakness. I want us to get that part tonight. Amen. So I mean, agree that Moses was a meek man and Jesus was a meek man. All right. Let's talk about it a little bit. Let's look at Moses first. Don't you see him up on that mountain? He's been up there for 30 days talking with God. Hadn't eaten anything. He'd been seeking God and God's been talking to him. And God came down and took his finger and he wrote into the stone the Ten Commandments, and then he carved it out, and then he gave it to Moses. Amen? Moses just had to just sit there and watch it all. You know, can you imagine? I mean, Moses just feeling so honored. Could you imagine being on the mountaintop there with God talking to you and telling you all this stuff? You know, I mean, it's just, you know, blows your mind, doesn't it? And he comes down off the mountain, and he gets down to where the people are at, and he looks, and he sees an old golden calf in the middle of the camp, and the people dancing around this golden calf out there, stripping off and doing all kind of crazy stuff after he'd been up there. Now, he's a meek pastor. He's a meek pastor now. The meekest man, it said. But what did he do? He took those tablets, did he not, in his meekness, and he cast them down that God himself had wrote on and cut out, and he broke those tablets. And that meek man called Moses, who was the meekest man, went over and took that golden calf and he ground it to powder and he strode it into the water and he commanded the people to drink it. That meek man I'm talking about. Now, how many wants a meek pastor? You still want a meek pastor? Come on. I done told you, weak preaching ain't meek preaching. Come on, meek preaching is preaching the truth, no matter what, because God's in control, and not be afraid of their faces, but tell them like it is. Amen. That's meek preaching. Amen. He said, and after that, he said, who's on the Lord's side? Amen. And they all started getting some over there with Moses, but 3,000 of them stayed over there on the other side. And Moses said, get your swords out and kill everyone. I'm talking about a meek pastor. Pastor Moses was a meek man. He said, kill them. Get that sin out of the camp or they'll be erecting another golden calf. We talk about a meek pastor. Whoo. Huh? 3,000 people was dead because of this meek pastor here. And all that, he was not in trouble with God. God backed him in every bit of that. He said, boy, he's probably in trouble with God doing all that. No. He was not in trouble with God breaking the commandments. Next time he had to get a chisel and carve them out himself, though. But God wasn't upset with him. God wasn't upset with him for grinding up that golden calf into powder. He wasn't upset with him for making the people drink it. Amen. He wasn't upset with them for him killing all those that was against God. Amen. That's meekness. God's in control. Amen. God is going to be in control. Amen. And Moses understood that. That's meekness. Amen. Who wants a meek pastor? Where Moses got in trouble, though, is when he let the murmuring. Look up all the different times. I didn't look up how many times you'd have to look up murmuring against or speaking against and all that. That the people would speak against Moses and murmur against Moses. And, Moses, it never got to him in all those times. You know, and they'd come to the rock, you know, and there was no water, and they'd complain, we ain't got nothing to drink. And the Lord said, take the rod and smite the rock. You know the story, and he smote the rock and water came out. You know, they complained because they, you know, didn't have nothing to eat, and the manna came down from heaven, you know, and they were so amazed that, hey, bread just falling from heaven, you know, and then they get to complaining, oh, we sick of these loaves of bread, and we sick of this manna, and we want some meat, and God give them quail. And I mean, you know, it just goes on and on and on and on, you know. But Moses just stayed meek, telling the truth, amen. If they disobeyed, he did what he would do the other times, you know. The earth to swallow up and swallowed up a bunch of them one time, you know. Come on. The meek man, he said, hey, if these people die, you know, it's when they would come against Moses, if these people die of a natural death, you know, I'm a false prophet. But if something happens like the earth will open up and swallow them up, you'll know that they're false prophets. Amen. I'm talking about a meek pastor. Amen. But to get around to the rock the second time and the people starts murmuring and complaining, and kind of the end of Moses' life here. He does had a belly full, and they start saying, I want some water. We got some water, Moses. You got to do something. You got to do something, Moses. You got to do something, Moses. I believe if I'd Moses, I'd look back and say, won't you do something? Huh? And so Moses gets upset, and God said to him, he said, Moses, just speak to the rock. Because the rock represents Jesus. The first time around represents Jesus going to Pilate's hall and being beaten. The second time around, it says, just speak to the mountain. In the New Testament, just say to that mountain. Jesus not coming down from where Brother Mike was talking about him standing there beside God, sitting on the throne there beside God. He's not coming back down here to go back to Pilate's hall and be beat again. So it represented Christ. And he was trying to show Moses and the people, all you got to do is just say the word. You don't have to beat the rock again. Don't beat Christ again. But what did he do? He got upset with the people and he smote the rock twice. But God honored it. He gave them water. But he says, you cannot go into the promised land. Amen. Meek is not weak by no means. Amen. It said during the years of wandering in the wilderness, Moses' patience was continually tested by the murmurings and grumblings and complaints of the people. At one point, Moses' patience reached its breaking point, and he sinned against the Lord in anger against the people. when the people again grumbled against Moses, saying that they had no water, the Lord told Moses to speak to the rock and the water would flow forth. Instead, Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. Because he disobeyed the Lord in this act, Moses was not permitted to enter into the promised land. And what I'm telling you tonight is, don't lose your meekness. What is meekness? It is a recognition that God is in control. Hallelujah. Come on. Don't lose your meekness. God is in control. Hallelujah. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll go with you always. He said, don't be afraid of their faces, but speak my word. Preach my word. Tell them my word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How wonderful God is to us. I was talking to another pastor the other day, and he's talking about they have this little program on some little local TV station or something where they have call-in prayer requests, and said they have guest pastors come on, and they had a guest pastor on there, and he kind of, you know, like some people tiptoe through the tither type pastors, you know, and he said, a caller called in, says, what do you say about, you know, correcting your children? Should we spank our children? And the fellow was kind of hem-hawing around rather than what the Word of God says. You know, what this guy was telling me. And he said, I'm just kind of, you know, outspoken. He said, I just spoke up, told him what the Bible said, you know. And I said, well, that's good. I says, but a lot of times when people call in like that, you need to turn it back on them. I would have asked the man that called in, I said, well, let me ask you first, do you disobey your father? Are you an example to that child that you wanting to correct to obey you? Do you obey the Father in heaven? Amen? You know, we need to give our children an example, a role model. That's the problem in homes. They don't have role models. Amen? We wonder why the children are going to hell, that they don't have role models in their parents. Amen. Why? Because they're not meek parents. Amen. They're weak parents. Glory to God. Let's look at Jesus a little bit. Jesus was a meek man. Amen. Was he not? John in the second chapter, verse 15. It says that when he had made a scourge of small cords, a whip. Amen. Same story, but I want to read it out of Matthew, the 21st chapter and verse 12. He's got this whip and he goes in there into the temple. It said, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money. I'm talking about a meek man. He overthrew the tables. Can you see him going in there with a whip? I'm talking about a meek man. He said, I come lowly and meek, riding upon an ass. He said, I'm meek. Take my yoke upon me. Upon you, amen. And he went in with a whip and he went in chasing them out of the house of the Lord and turning over the money table. I mean, if somebody saw him, said, what kind of man of God is he? He's crazy. No, he's a meek man. He knows that God's in control. And he said, this is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. You're corrupting the house of God. That's what he said. Amen. That's what he's telling them. Amen. Remember another time they come to him and say, hey, Herod, you know, he done killed John the Baptist and he's coming after you. He's going to get you next, he said. And Jesus said, go tell that fox. I'll be here today and I'll be here tomorrow. And on the third day, I'll be perfected. I'm talking about a meek man, not a weak man. Jesus was a meek man, not a weak man. Go tell that fox I'll be right here if he wants me. He ain't got to search me down and send out people looking for me. I'll be right here today and I'll be here tomorrow. And on the third day, I'll be perfected because God's in control, not Herod. Amen. Look at the one next to you and say, "Woo! Thank God I'm meek." You looking at a meek person. Huh? Know where's offering? Oh, altar. Okay. Altar. Okay. Amen. Look at Jesus. Jesus in Matthew the 12th chapter, verse 34. He said, "Oh, generation of vipers." When's the last time your pastor called you a viper? That's a snake, serpent. Oh, generation of serpents. I mean, he's a meek. Jesus was meek. Oh, you know, there's a fella out. I don't know where he even, pastor, somewhere way out. Brother Olstein. I don't think he's meek. I think he's weak. I mean, when they had his brother-in-law and sister sitting there and had him and his wife, and they sitting there and they interviewing them. And his sister and brother-in-law pastors a little small church, probably about like this right here. And here he's got this big mega church with tens of thousands of people. Thanks to his dad. And no. But. And the interviewer said, "Your brother-in-law preaches stuff that you can't preach." And you know what he said? "You're right." I'd have been ashamed to say that. He said, "Because if you preach what he preaches, you wouldn't have your congregation." Well, we just choose to love everybody. Well, that's kind of an Absalom spirit, isn't it? You know? And so, why don't you preach against abortion? Well, we just love everybody. Well, how do you feel personally about it? Well, I don't believe it's the best choice. What do you mean best choice? Ain't even no choice at all. So he's a weak preacher, not a meek preacher. A meek preacher will say, "Oh, generation of viper." He called black, black, and white, white. No gray areas. There's too many gray areas in the church. Either you for me or against me, Jesus said. You're either for me or against me. No man can serve two masters. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. Amen. I remember one time I preached a funeral, and this guy got up for me, and I'm not bragging on myself. I don't do that. Listen, but the guy got up with his robe. Had one of his robes on, you know. And he gets up there and he says something. I don't know what he said. Read something, some page or two of something. And then it was my turn. And I just told him like it was. Amen? That if you're not covered by the blood of Jesus, you go to hell. Mention hell at a funeral? I don't know of a better time to mention hell than in a funeral. I mean, at a funeral, it tells people this is a terminal trip. We're all going to die. We need to get right. That's what our job is. We're firemen. We're keeping people out of the fire. I just preached what I felt God had given me. After the sermon at the graveyard, I had people come to me and say, "I want you to preach my funeral." I said, "Well, if you live right, I will." Another come and said, son, if they don't know it, they'll never know it. I wanted them to know it, amen. It's like my mama told my dad one time, said, "They'll never get you back." He said, "I don't need to come back. I done told him everything I need to tell him while I was there." Amen. I don't bite my gums for nobody. Don't bite my lips. You got to preach the word. Be instant in season and out. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. For their time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And shall turn from the truth and be turned into fables. We're living in that time. You better tell the truth. Or you'll stand before God and before those people. Matthew in the 23rd chapter, Jesus said, verse 33, he said, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers." Look what he called them. He called them what they were. They were killing. He's talking to the Pharisees and the scribes, the people who had the knowledge of God but not giving it to people. He would come into churches today and would look at the preachers in the pulpit and say, "You generation of vipers and snakes, you're killing the people." That's meekness. That's meekness. Amen. Meek is not weak. Luke in the 11th chapter, verse 44, Jesus said, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, bunch of hypocrites." Y'all want a meek pastor? Don't get mad at me when I call you a hypocrite. Don't get mad at me if I call you a snake. Amen. If that's what you want, that's what you'll get. I'm a nice pastor, aren't I? Yeah, yeah. Y'all go really have to repent over that one now. Jesus said in John 8:43, he says, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, you're of the devil." Well, last time you looked at somebody that was causing havoc and not believing God, said, "You're just of the devil. That's the only thing wrong with you. You're just full of the devil." Paul said that to one, did he not? It's the old "full of the devil" over in the book of Acts. Amen. Where he tried to pervert the truth, hinder the truth. He says, "In your lust of your father, you will do. He is a murderer, and so are you." Meek is not weak. Amen. That's what he's saying. He looked at his 12 disciples. And he says, "You 12 I have chosen, and one of you is a devil." That's meek. One of you is a devil. I mean, you know, I guess I don't hurt nobody's feelings, so I'll just say, you know, I just want to say that. I mean, I know one of them's a devil, but I'm not going to say it to him. No, he just said it. "I chose you 12, and one of you is a devil." That's meek. That's meekness. When somebody's wrong and they ask you, you know, somebody come to you sometimes and say, "Do you think that's wrong?" And people hum-haw around when I give them an answer. They'll just, "Oh, well, you know, it's, you just pray about it." Don't tell them if it's wrong. Tell them if it's wrong. Amen. That's meekness, is to tell them. That's why they ask you. If they get mad because you give them that answer, say, "Well, you shouldn't have asked me." Amen. They probably won't come back and ask you anything else. I'm almost finished. Listen. What is meekness? Let me tell you what meekness is. It is power under control. That's what meekness is. Power under control. I mean, you know, if this little kid comes up to you like this right here, you know, and says, "I'm going to tear you up." I can be meek, buddy. Oh, yeah. Okay, no problem. You don't believe me? Well, whatever you say, I'm going to tear you up. You know, I mean, you know, see the confidence that God gives us, that comes with meekness. It is strength and courage under control. As long as Moses stayed meek, he was okay with God. It's when he lost his meekness, in other words, he lost his control, and he struck the rock twice. That's the only thing he messed up with God about. Remember in John's Gospel in the 21st chapter, he says to Peter, I'm trying to get an 8-minute sermon here. Remember the 21st chapter of John, Jesus is ending his life here, fixing to take off, He looks at the disciples and he says, "Oh, Peter over there got his mind on fishing, you know." He says, "Peter, lovest thou me?" But he said it like this in the Greek. "Peter, what is it? No, not philios, agape me. Peter, agape me." And Peter looked at him and said, "Yea, Lord, I love you." He said, "Feed my lambs." He said, "Peter, agape me." Peter said, "Yeah, Lord." He said, "Feed my sheep." Then he said, "Peter, filio me." And it got Peter's attention. See, agape is a godly love with all your mind, heart, soul, and body, with everything you got. I mean, put him number one. Filio is being fond. "Are you fond of me?" And it got Peter, it woke him up, and he looked and he said, "Yea, Lord, you know all things." He said, "Feed my sheep." And Peter got looking around. It's like, why is he picking on me? All these other dudes is around here. Why is he picking on me? And he looks over and he sees John sitting there, you know. And so he says in verse number 20 of the 21st chapter, "Then Peter, turning about..." Oh, Jesus went on and said to him this, though. That really got his goat. You know, it wasn't that part, but this. He said, "Peter, when you was young, you went where you wanted to go, you know, did what you wanted to do. But when you're old, another shall gird thee and carry you where you wish not." And he says this, he was speaking of Peter's death. They were crucifying. And it kind of, you know, maybe bothered Peter a little bit. Why is he just picking on me? These other guys got it made. He's just on me. And so he says here in verse 20, "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved." Now that was John. In the book of John, you won't find John's name because he never called his own name. He'd always say the disciple whom Jesus loved. He's talking about himself. "Following," said, "which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, said unto Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do?" And Jesus said unto them, "If he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow thou me." That's meekness. Ain't none of your business, Peter, what he does. Ain't none of your business. Your business is to follow me. Amen? Nobody's business what that one over there is doing and this one over here. Your business is to follow the man. That's our business. Amen. So how many wants a meek pastor? I've lost some. How many wants a meek pastor? I'm not going to change. I believe I've always been meek. I don't know. Come on, stand with us.